So whilst we're on the subject of ordination, I mean, it's an obvious question, but I wonder whether it is a question that's valuable just here. Yeah. It is, what is ordination to you? You know, it's all very, we talk about ordination, we talk about wearing these white cases, we've all got Buddhist names. Mm. But what is it really? I mean, what are we doing getting ordained? It's all very nice, but what are we doing? You know?
Okay.
For me,
do you mean what was it like at the actual time of being ordained, or what is it like now?
What did you think you were doing when you asked? What were you asking for?
Okay, I'm interested in my own response to that. Because it's interesting, isn't it? There's ordination, so I got ordained 15 years ago. So there's ordination then, and then there's ordination now. I suppose what I'm thinking to myself is, although it is a very definite thing, it's a definite moment in one's life, if you choose to do that, it also unfolds, you know. So I think that's why I was quite interested. It's unfolded over those 15 years. Mm. At the time, it's funny, maybe it's hard to put into words because I don't think I had words for it. I remember knowing from quite early on, my first retreat, I somehow knew, oh, one day I will become ordained. And I don't even know what it was I thought. But I think maybe a bit like you, I thought, no, I've found something that I can give myself wholly to. And I think it's interesting how what we want most from life expresses itself in different ways, probably according to our personalities. And I think for me it's something about what can I wholeheartedly throw myself into? And other things I tried, even at that quite young age, hadn't worked, like relationships and so on. They weren't sort of big enough. I needed something big to throw myself into. So I think there was something, even though I couldn't even have articulated that then, to be honest, but that was the feeling. And I thought, oh, I found it. I found the thing that's big enough that I can throw myself into, that I'll never be limited. I'll just be able to keep being wholehearted infinitely. If I was to articulate it, if I had been able to, I think that's what I'd have said. But I didn't really know, apart from this feeling. So I knew that straight away from my first retreat, but I was much too shy to tell anyone. I mean, much too shy to speak at all. I spent my first year and a half really not speaking. I'd be in study groups and stuff, and I'd never say a single word. So I definitely couldn't have told that to anyone. Mm. I never doubted, though, that's what I wanted to do. I think probably the only thing I doubted was myself. And was I good enough, really, to join the order? And as a matter of fact, I had that feeling right up until the moment I was ordained. It actually, just before I got ordained, it manifested very, very strongly. That sort of self-doubt, am I good enough? Or usually get ordained on retreat, and I thought, they'll find me out, they'll send me home. And I thought that I was convinced, you know. And I remember the night before I got ordained, I had this lovely dream, actually, and I dreamt that I saw this whole garden of white roses. And it was absolutely beautiful, but then I noticed that one of the roses was all brown and yucky, and it was all bad. And I thought, oh no, I thought it was a beautiful garden, but actually it's all spoiled. And then in my dream, I sensed to the figure, this figure, female figure behind me, who said, no, look, the whole garden isn't spoiled. There's just one rose that's a bit brown, but that doesn't mean the whole garden's spoiled. And I took that as a message of, okay, well, even with faults and failings and flaws, you know, I can still do this. And all the doubts sort of resolved. So at the time, it was a feeling that this is what I can do with my life. And now, I think what inspires me most at the moment is, I'm trying to say this in a succinct way. Okay, so last year we had a visit here at the centre from Sangha Rajta, who's our teacher and the founder of the movement. He's an old man now. In his 80s, and he came to when we did the recently we've converted the centre and made it bigger and so on. So he came in celebration of that. And actually, there was an interview with him, which my trade bander did. And my trade bander was saying to Sangharaj, to our teacher, something like, are we really doing the right thing? Here we are, we're supposed to be practicing Buddhism, and here we are living in a city. Shouldn't we be up a mountain meditating all the time and stuff? And he just looked really surprised. I always remember the look of surprise on his face and in his voice. And he said, but this is where the people are. And my trade bander said, no, but shouldn't we be up meditating? And he said, but this is where the people are. And I felt like in that moment, I got a glimpse of what I thought might be his vision, which was to keep the Buddhist teachings alive into the future. I thought, somebody with as big a mind as him, he doesn't just want to build one Buddha centre here. He wants to make sure that this carries on, that the teachings and methods carry on into the future, because they might not. You know, they might not if we don't actually make an effort to do it. And then I thought, that's great. I love this, you know, because then that felt like a really big vision to put myself behind. And I suppose now, being in the order, part of quite a big part of being in the order for me is realizing, well, I can't do that on my own. I need to do that. I need a band of people to do that with. So we need something. Well, one person can't just do it. So that's what being in the order means to me, in vision. I mean, of course, you know, in day-to-day life we have our ups and downs, but at its best, that's what something like an order would do. It'd be something, well, it's that whole thing, like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Yeah, so that's what it means to me. Yeah.